B-Pod Studios.
Listen live and check out all of our podcasts.
Critics acclaimed it as radio's finest production.
Available wherever and whenever you want.
Getting out of control.
On the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
It's TNR.
Heard you like to party.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter.
At Kutcher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode. All right, 98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and we have Ted Johnson in this morning for Fred. And if you missed that last segment, well, first of all, one thing we learned earlier in the show is that Ted was indeed a badass surfer in high school, which he dug up a photo of. Have you tweeted that sucker out yet?
Oh, I have to get on the Wi-Fi here. Okay. To do that. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You guys like that pic, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, yeah. Was that curly hair I saw there?
No, it was just really long.
Okay. Surfer dude. Yeah. Wet surfer hair.
He made a little surfer motion, too. Yeah. You see that?
That's in the picture.
Loose.
I'm doing hang loose.
Little hang loose.
But, great thing about Ted is that Ted has, since he's been out of football, he has been extremely open with his life, and in my opinion, you have to be, because it's truly helping. Because there's a lot of stuff we don't know about concussions and what life is like living with them and being in the NFL, especially as you said before, rules were changed around 2011, and it starts making people aware of what is. Like, what are concussions? How do you feel? How should they be treated? How the NFL, are they doing everything they should be doing to help prevent these concussions? Is the medical community doing everything they can to help prevent all of this? And you said that, and the thing that I found most fascinating was, and we'll take these calls in a minute, but the thing I found the most fascinating was, I tried to imagine being you and having these things going on with my head because I've had over 200 concussions, and having one type of doctor tell me one thing and another type of doctor telling me another one. One saying, Ted, don't you dare deal with marijuana, because this could be a gateway to something awful, where you said you've dealt with addictions before. And then you've got the medical community saying, this is the best possible thing you could do to make sure that you can maintain an ordinary life.
Yeah.
And it is preventative for you going,
yeah,
the opposite of a gateway drug.
Yeah.
For you to go back and start using opioids. But you said at the very beginning there was a situation that...
Yeah, where you talk about totally polar opposite ends of the spectrum on what to do. Now, and so just so people understand, when you say, like, people are telling me not to do marijuana, it's the addiction community.
Okay.
It's the addiction community that doesn't really know how to deal with people with my profile, right? I mean, the addiction community, you say, if I have an issue, then I've had issues with amphetamines. That is my DOC. That is my drug of choice, right, is the amphetamines. And if I were, you know, in the addiction community, if you were to say, well, you know, that's my number one, that's what I struggle with the most, but I want to smoke pot, you know, just so I can't, because I can't handle the other stuff, they look at you like you're crazy.
But the doctors know what's going on with your brain.
Yes.
And exactly. They know the pain you're going through.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But they still would make, yoga, do meditation. There's like, okay, that's... That doesn't exactly cover everything, right?
Sure.
But to get back to what you just asked me, at the very beginning of this journey, trying to find out information about myself, I did so much research when I retired in 05 to learn about this stuff. I was fascinated by what I really learned was, I felt like a lot of the issues were being discussed more in the NHL before any other.
Pat
LaFontaine was a guy that I feel like, and I've never met Pat, and I don't know what Pat's doing, but... He was open about his issues. Like, one of the first guys I was ever like, wow, this guy talked about his concussions before anybody did, because nobody talked about it, because I think you just thought that's how you're supposed to feel, and it's a culture of tough guys, right? You don't talk about that stuff.
Yep.
But so when I retired and I started looking for answers to what I was feeling, I was being seen by a doctor at McLean's in Belmont. And there was a point where... And he was a very, you know, everybody in Boston, he's the best, right? I went to this great guy, this doctor at McLean's, who didn't know what to do with me at a certain point. Really, we tried different things, didn't know what to do with me. And he kind of got frustrated with me, and he goes, Ted, I'm going to recommend ECT. ECT, what's that? It's electric shock therapy. It's 80% success rate.
Oh, Lord.
For people who have the issues you have, 80% success rate.
Electric shock therapy.
Now, one who flew over the cuckoo's nest stuff. I toured the facility. It's a 5-week or something like that program, three times. I'm like, Ooh, so I'm like, I'm not so sure about that. That just really freaked me out.
This is the lay on your back, electrodes attached to your head.
Oh, Lord.
Electroshock therapy, like they show in movies where they show like horrible doctors who end up being crackpots.
Right. They still
A beautiful mind.
Believe it or not, they still do. I think it's maybe they probably have tweaked it and such that it's more humane, but... So I'm like, okay, let me put that on a shelf here. Let me get back to you on that one.
Yeah.
And I called my friend Chris Nowinski. Chris is former Harvard defensive lineman.
He's a reasonable guy.
Chris is one of my closest friends. I said, Chris, this guy's recommending ECT. He's like, are you kidding me? He goes, please call my friend Dr. Robert Cantu and go see. And he's out of Emerson. Dr. Cantu is one of the leading authorities on this concussion issue. And go see him. He's a neurosurgeon. So I did, and I went to Dr. Cantu, and I said, Doc, this is what I'm feeling, and this is what the psychiatrist is telling me to do. And he looked at me, and he goes, Ted, if you do that, it's like getting concussed over and over and over and over again. That's the worst thing you could do. So that was in 2005. You have two very well-respected doctors in their individual fields telling you completely opposite things to do to get to the same conclusion.
How do you not go mad?
So it was scary, man. Yeah, so it was scary. So that was the beginning of this whole thing. And now we know so much more now than we did then. And I'm grateful for that. But there's still so much left to learn.
All right, let's go to Jack. Jack on line four. Jack, you're on with Ted Johnson.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just got a couple of quick points. Number one, Ted, thank you very, very much for coming out and speaking the way you're speaking. It is very rare to hear a professional athlete speaking like this. As somebody that was in the fight game, what you described about the haziness and then kind of getting out and coming back in and out, and I know exactly what you're talking about, and this needs to be heard. So laser show, guys. Keep up great work. And as for the medical profession, that's why they call it a practice, because they practice on us. And you'll get different opinions all the time.
All right, man. Well, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Somebody had called in with a good question. And well, first of all, Would you let your kids play football knowing what you know now?
Great question. I get asked that. And this is what I would say. I would say yes. But I would steer them to certain positions. Not every position in football is created equal. And I use the example of like baseball players. So you got two guys that played 10 years in the Major League Baseball. One was a second baseman, one played catcher. We both played baseball. But one position is obviously more demanding physically than another position. So one guy is going to come away with probably more physical issues than the other guy, even though they played the same game.
Yep.
They played different positions.
What position would you let your kid play?
I would let him play on the line of scrimmage on defense. Because it's more hand fighting.
Sure.
You don't line up off the ball. I would see nothing in the box. So safeties and linebackers, offensive linemen. Even though the evidence doesn't support my feelings on this, there's just, my job is to initiate contact on every play. I can't run around blocks. I have to run through blocks.
Yeah.
Where, a receiver's job, even though we look at the big hits over the middle, I'll be honest with you. Those guys, those are devastating hits, and they get hit a lot. But play in, play out, game in, game out, it's not a physical position.
So you let him play quarterback. You'd let him play quarterback, right?
I let him play quarterback. I let him play tight end, wide receiver, cornerback, defensive line, outside linebacker.
I see these wide receivers getting cracked though sometimes.
Yeah, but they don't get hit in practice. They don't get hit in practice.
I mean, they're protected a lot more.
I got most of my concussions in practice. Not in games, but in practice.
And now, the other thing too is that you talk about all these doctors you're going to. It sounds expensive. Is the NFL taking care of you?
I got lucky. There's programs. There's programs out there. A lot of guys don't know how to find them. They do make it easy once you call and just ask for help, they'll help you. There are programs that are there and money available to players. Not guys that maybe played before me. It kills me to say that it's not retroactive, But I retired at a time when these programs were developed and in place so that I could benefit from them. So there is money to help pay for treatment, and I used money from the NFL, that program, the Gene Upshaw program, to pay for my visits and treatment.
Are you bitter against the Patriots at all for how they handled all this?
I've moved on from that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or just not even the Patriots. Yeah. The NFL in general.
Nope. No, I'm good. I made my peace with that. Okay. Like there's resentment is one of my favorite lines is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. You're just hurting yourself. So
is there also like something inside of you?
And I owe a lot to the game.
Well, of course.
So I always feel like though when I talk about concussions and about the problems I had because of playing football, that I'm down on football. No. Football gave me a purpose.
And it is your choice to play the game. In a lot of ways. And you know it can be dangerous.
Yeah. I would say this: we didn't know then what we know now. Like
that's true.
So, and I was criticized. I was criticized for bringing this up, like because no one had ever heard about it. And like, yeah, okay, sure, right? I mean, you know what you signed up for. Did we? I 2005, I never ever knew that you could get a brain disorder,
right?
Brain disease from playing the game of football. I've seen paralysis. I've seen guys die from heat stroke.
Sure. Broken bones.
Right?
Sure.
I had never heard of it that potentially could lead to, it makes sense. I mean, you hit, head to head all the time. I didn't know it could maybe perhaps lead to Lou Gehrig's disease, to dementia, Alzheimer's. That's
all right, real quick, let's go to John, because you mentioned this person when we were off the air. John on line one, you're on with Ted Johnson. Hey, John?
John.
Okay. His question was about Kyle Turley.
Yeah, Kyle.
He wanted to know if you've ever spoken with him before.
He's like a hero to me, man. I tweeted that out not long ago. He was at the Super Bowl doing his rounds.
Okay, and for people who don't know what Turley's message is, what has he been saying?
Just basically bringing awareness and education to the healing aspect of marijuana and how he needs to be legalized in the NFL. There shouldn't be harsh penalties for guys to smoke it. So many guys in the NFL use it for healing power. It's healing powers. And when when you can't use it, guys will find pain relief somewhere else. Vicodin, give me Percocets. And then that leads to the harder stuff, the Oxycontin and that stuff. So there, if you don't allow guys with this just the physical toll that football takes, it has on these guys, you need something to help manage the pain. And when you can't smoke marijuana, it's very difficult. It really steers guys to using the stuff that is the killer.
Well, this is from Forbes. They wrote an article about the NHL's stance on marijuana use. And they said when asked recently, because, it was just legalized all throughout Canada. Mm-hmm. They said when asked recently how Canadian legalization would affect the NHL policy, the NHL's deputy commissioner told the Associated Press that it would not. That's good news because, according to a report, the NHL doesn't classify cannabis as a banned substance. They said the Civilized also a report adds that the league routinely tests players for performance-enhancing substances. It tests only a random selected one-third of players for illicit substances like cannabis. If and when the league detects cannabis use, it compiles those cases into a statistical snapshot, which goes to the league's performance-enhancing program without naming any players. That's it. No penalties. No suspensions. And don't you think with everything we know about pain management and addiction, don't you think that we are way past the point where we need to be with the NFL to adopt something like this?
Absolutely. And that's what it ticks me off, man. It really ticks me off that the NFL, it's all about PR and it's all about image and it's all about, wanting moms to, wanting their kids to play football and dads. And, you're going to allow, these players to smoke pot?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I can't encourage my kid to play a game in a sport that encourages its players to smoke pot. Get over it, man. Like, I think the owners are out of touch and the people running the league office are out of touch with what's really going on, man. Mm-hmm. And it does a disservice to its players to disallow that. It really does.
Well, this has been it's been interesting, man. And we'll get to the yucks later on, yeah. I promise. But awesome. As I said,
I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it because I hope people can learn from it. And there's not enough guys, like you said, Rich, not enough guys talking about it. That's why I literally was watching Kyle Turley do an interview with Zoe and Bertrand at the Super Bowl. And I was like tweeting out, he's my hero, man. Kyle Turley has the balls to say what we're all thinking, and I love it.
Well, excellent. Maybe you should start doing. You ever thought about possibly doing the same? I mean,
you're doing
a pretty damn good job this morning.
Yeah. I'm more comfortable talking about concussions more than I am about the healing powers of marijuana. considering my background.
Sure.
There's going to be people that are going to say I'm a hypocrite, right? You want it both ways. I've had serious, really like scary issues with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to,
but it seems like you figured out the right recipe to make it work.
Yeah.
And don't you think there's a lot of people who might have been going through what you were going through who might like to hear how it comes out in the end if you do it the right way?
I'm just telling you, there's a lot of people that are out there that are going to go, oh, well, you're still struggling with drugs. If you're smoking pot, then you're not a true addict in recovery, which I'd say to them.
You
never played football. You have to walk in a guy's shoes that's, played a physical game like that.
On a side note, maybe you're the one who'd get me high.
Dude.
Is the stuff good?
He's already volunteered to try.
Yeah. Stuff good?
Yeah,
Kenny J, let's get high, baby.
Only the best. Only the best for you, Rich.
That's why they call him Teddy J.
I was going to say, there might be a time where he's working the midday show and there might be a handoff involved.
All right. It looks like 10:05 is more like 4:20 on my watch.
Hey. I got the pre-roll for you, brother.
All right. Maybe a couple guys from the station who have been direct messaging me can join us. All right. We'll get to who's coming up. We got Billy Jabby's going to be coming up in a little bit. So there you go. We'll get all your yucks in just a few.
98.5thesportshub.com is your connection to the world of Boston sports wherever you go. 98.5thesportshub.com.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, 98.5 Sports Hub is Toucher and Rich. Ted Johnson in studio. And by the way, we're going to have the great Dave Gosher on with us. The Get the Duck Boats Ready voice of your Boston Bruins until about 2 years ago. Now we have the very good Judd Surratt. But he is doing television now for the Las Vegas Golden Knights. And matter of fact, this evening, he's going to be doing national TV, right?
Yeah.
NBC Sports?
He and Pierre Maguire, yes. That is the word I've gotten.
When the game is on NBC Sports, that means it's not on NESN, right?
Yes, okay. That's correct.
So you are going to tune in tonight see...
Cutting loose Jack Edwards, cutting loose in Sin City, because he's with him on the road trip, right?
Okay.
They have another game after this.
They do.
Like, what does Jack do? What does Jack do?
In his free time?
You know what he does? He skips Las Vegas and goes to Area 51 to study aliens.
That's a good point.
The dude he's an interesting cat. If you ever had a discussion with Jack Edwards, he's a very interesting
person.
Actually,
it's interesting. We talked to Dave about this because Dave and Jack sat next to each other on the team playing for a decade. So I'm sure he had tons of Jack's.
I know some people give Jack Edwards crap. I think he does a good job.
No, he's very good.
And he's kind of corny, and he's obviously can be a homer, but I actually like my home broadcast to have one super homer on it. That's why I'm a Tommy Heinsohn fan. Gorman kind of keeps things together, and I like Tommy Heinsohn screaming and yelling and bitching about fouls that we know weren't actually fouls.
He bitches about fouls more than any homer I've ever listened to,
and
man.
And I got no problem with that. And anyone who does,
either.
I've just got one term for you, and that's unicorn show ponies. Where's the beef? I want a Zolak. Although Zolak's, that's not fair. I'm not going to link them into it. Zolak is passionate about the Patriots, and he's obviously on the scale towards homer or not, but he is very fair when you hear him call a game. Heinsohn is just he's in a whole realm by himself. Yeah. I mean, dude will like call and yell at someone for
barely
something.
Barely touched him.
Will literally have jammed a finger into his eye socket. And he's like, he didn't even touch the guy. But the one thing about Dave Gosher, and I know you talked to him yesterday.
Yeah, we talked last night.
He went from making money in Boston to going out to Las Vegas. You essentially just tripled your income, even if you're making the same amount of money. Everything there is so cheap.
Yeah.
Like, how much do you... Okay, let's say he was living in a house here that cost $500,000. Let's say he had a condo that was $500,000.
I'm just going to say, a house that costs 500 grand is a long ways away from Boston.
Do you know what a $500,000 would get you in Las Vegas?
A mansion.
You're living in a mansion.
Yep.
With a pool, with like a nice car.
Yeah.
If you just make that same amount of money and you go out to Las Vegas, you are rolling in it. And apparently, Dave Gosher's living the good life. He's like a super celebrity out there because, believe it or not, people in Vegas love the Golden Knights. Like, they love having
and
a professional
sports
franchise.
They've been around, what, for a year and a half?
You, yeah. But think about that first year.
They went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year.
The first year was such a magic year.
You think about Showtime and all the glitz and the glamour surrounding that team.
Yeah.
Where are they?
Gosher is a rock star out there, and I'm not exaggerating. Everywhere he goes, everyone knows Dave Gosher, and apparently because there's no other, like, professional sporting franchise out there.
Yet.
Like, well, yet, of course. Then
Raiders are
going
to be there very soon.
But because of that, like, everyone is real close-knit with that team. And, like, you know, and you were telling me that he had, like, the owner of the team over at his house the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
They all roll together.
Yeah.
So Gosher's doing okay.
He's very happy with the life he leads.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, without a doubt. So we're going to have him on later on. We obviously love it when he's on the show. Billy Jaffe's going to be as well. Maybe Billy Jaffe and you, Ted, can have an arm wrestling competition.
He's a big dude.
I'd like to see that. You know what?
Is he coming in studio?
Yes.
Okay, very cool.
He'll be in about 10 minutes.
Oh, he's going to be on the phone?
Oh,
he's usually in studio.
God, it's too bad.
Too much beefcake in the studio at once?
I understand.
Is that what it is?
Oh,
I like Billy Jaffe, man.
He's in the gym. He can't come in today.
That's my guy. Dude.
No, he's traveling. He's working for the NHL Network.
I was going to say,
okay.
We're kindred spirits, if that was the case.
Too bad.
Is there a guy at this station, like if you and Zolak, like, truly went at it, do you think that you would be able to, like, just destroy Scott Zolak?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, I think so too.
Arm wrestling.
And Zolak's
a big dude, man.
Yeah,
he's but.
I just think I've been after it in the gym, you know, the last year and a half.
How often? How many workouts a week?
I go 6 days a week.
Okay, Zolak has no chance.
Okay, how about?
I just have to trust in my workouts all the work I put in the weight room would pay off if I ever had to truly go toe to toe with Scott Zolak.
Okay, who from your last world championship team? Is there anyone on that roster today whose ass you don't think you could kick?
Oh, it's not even close. And it's a little scary. Like, I've seen the potential in this man.
Uh-huh.
And you don't even want to go there. His name is Willie McGinest. Willie McGinest.
Willie's a big guy. You saw it, Super Bowl.
He's huge.
But not only is he huge, he's got a little street in him.
Okay.
And
that
so,
edge.
But he's got that edge. He's one of the most impressive men to me because he's so refined and he's so well educated and he's so well spoken.
But you've seen him when he is seeing red.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
give me an example.
Let me just say, do not accuse him of cheating in a card game. That's all I'm going to say. Just don't ever accuse
him. You can't stop there.
No, need the story.
I don't remember I'm not going to say the player's name.
Okay.
That's fine.
I'm not going to say the player's name, but
we'll call him Billy McFinnest.
So Billy is. I go to get my ankles taped during 2 days, and it's the morning practice, and it's early in the morning, and I'm going there at 7:15, whatever, to get my ankles taped for the practice, and I see Billy. We'll call him Billy, laying there on one of the tables, like, in a fetal position, shaking, mm-hmm. with the biggest black and blue eye.
Yeah.
And I found this out. The story later was Billy accused Willie Mack of cheating in a card game. Oh. And it got out of hand. Oh. And Willie just took matters into his own hands. Yeah. And so I was like, dude, I'll never screw with Willie again.
How big was the guy that was
So Willie kicked Billy's ass?
How big was
bigger. He was just as big as Willie. Yeah, oh yeah.
And,
yeah.
And just because he said you were cheating in the card game.
I mean, I'll say he played defensive line. Yeah.
Ooh,
oh, yeah.
Let's do some research.
That's what I heard.
Okay, that's what you heard. That's what you heard.
But Willie is one of my absolute favorites.
2004.
And he's kept himself in shape, too. Like, I mean, he's
in great shape. One of the one of the nicest guys.
Sure.
Just, you know, just don't go there.
But you got to switch.
Oh, yeah.
Special kind of crazy.
I think most guys that play in that league do have a switch.
Sure, of course. You kind of have to have that in order to survive in that league.
Willie's got one.
Hang on, there's Ty Warren. There's
we're not going to do this.
Oh, you check it out. We'll take a quick break. Here's John Wallach with the headlines.
There's never a shortage of stories.
This thing was earned.
Talking Tats.
You earned the trip.
Sucks.
He's got a history of ripping apart farm systems.
The Celtics are bending over backwards.
Bees. Tired of the top line.
Front. This is your home for Boston sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You don't have to lift a finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich.
No way.
Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back of the net now, DeBrusque. He'll skate ahead, separates from Couture over the line, left side into the left circle, sauced across, Krejci to the slot, fired, they score! Bring the belt to the Boston Bruins! Charlie McAvoy in overtime with the dagger. The Bruins are a perfect 3-0 on the trip. They've won six straight games. That's a season high as they beat the Sharks in OT 6-5.
Did you hear that? And that's one time that I'll say Judd Surratt absolutely captured that moment. That was a regular season game on a Monday night, and it sounded like they just won a playoff game. That's because that was one of the more exciting hockey games that nobody got to watch.
It was an unbelievably good. You know what? I actually DVR'd it, and because none of us were awake to see this game, I watched a lot of it the next day. It was worth going back over.
I watched the first two periods before I went to bed, and it was fast. It was exciting.
How do you do that? Well, we all have to get up early.
Was it like 11:15?
No, it was later than that. 11:30, quarter of 12?
I don't know, man.
By
I went to bed.
The second period?
Yeah, I started at 10. I went to bed like around 11:15, 11:30.
Oh, you're crazy, man.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
What time did you get up in the morning? Yeah,
when I always do. You
three,
know?
Right?
Yeah.
So you get like 4 hours of sleep every night, kind of?
Yeah, but I also take like a nap in the afternoon from like 1 to 2:30.
I don't know how you guys do it.
I don't either. I just get used to it, man.
You say you never get used to this.
Well, I'll tell you this one. I'll tell you this, though. I mean, name one attractive morning show person. and I guarantee you like 30% of us were probably, you know, considered over a five. But let's look what it does. No, it's like the ravages.
It's like dog years. Every year
we're all disgusting. Like we're all just like beaten. Like we all look like
except
a bag of
Except for Billy Jaffe. He was up in the morning. He's gorgeous. Well,
Jaffe's just getting up
man.
Naked. He's making protein shakes. He's, lifting iron. However, Billy Jaffe, I would feel inferior today because there is a man in studio who I believe could indeed kick your ass in Ted Johnson.
Not true. I've seen Billy. Not in person, but on TV.
He's a hell of a battle.
That dude's jacked.
Yeah.
Well, let's say you, Billy Jaffe.
I would think he could kick my ass, too. I would sure hope so. I'm an old man right now. Yeah, by the way, you guys, Wallach, what are you complaining about not getting sleep? It's your job. Stay up late. Watch the Bruins. I'm kidding.
Okay, Billy, you first.
By the way, Jaffe on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. That was one hell of a game, and it sucks that nobody's watching. And on top of that, they've been doing everything right since Pucks and Paddles. It's been like six straight games.
It's magic, man.
It's the TNR bump. Yep. DeBrusk got it last time he was on.
That's right.
He's been on fire, but I mean.
That's right. DeBrusk was on. You guys put words in my mouth, and since then he's been kicking ass. I love it.
Because you have firsthand seen that the TNR bump is real.
Yes. Well, I've seen it since Atlanta. You made the Thrashers go from 5 wins a season to 8 wins a season.
That's right. They got Kovalchuk, and all of a sudden there were 3 more wins from one season to the next. What have you seen over these last 6 games, other than, of course, a little TNR magic? I mean, everything's gone right.
Wait a second. Everything has gone right in the sense of results, Rich, all right? There's been a few ups and downs. They've been giving up some chances, but they've been. They don't break. We can use all the sports cliches in the book. It's true, though. They're getting great goaltending when it's all said and done. I know Tuukka, at an individual level, he had 5 go against them the other night. He still played his ass off the other night. That's the fun thing. See, let me just go on a tangent real quick about last game. Last game was so, Brad Marchand described it best yesterday. I can't use the word on the air. When he was described, he asked to use a couple of words to describe the game. It was a blank show, he talked about, meaning it had everything crazy. And you know what it had? It had some bad calls, some missed calls, it had a little bit of questionable play, but it had passionate, everything was passionate about that game because it was two really good teams going at it. And by the way, I'm okay, even though I know people want perfection from the officials. Officials are people, too, and you know what? They're going to screw up once in a while. I was always taught as a kid, how do you handle the mistakes, whether you make or the official makes? You deal with it. The Bruins, Rich, have been dealing with it. Now, they may have gotten screwed on a no-goal early in the game, but then they got a goal late in the game that shouldn't have counted.
Same guy, too. Yep.
Well, right, it should not have counted, okay? So, point is this. They're dealing with things, but they're getting balance scoring, they're getting depth scoring, which is amazing, you know, considering that it was so long for a long time, very top heavy. They're getting the D involved. That, to me, is one of the big things. The D are getting involved offensively. That just doesn't mean scoring actual goals, although it's been nice lately, but they're at least up getting opportunities. If you can flush the puck up, you can get D involved, yet they're not sacrificing D at the other end for the most part. That's key, and they've been doing that. It's been a ton of fun. Big trip so far. Obviously, a big game tonight in Vegas.
All right, Billy, with the trade deadline so close by, do you think this run of success makes Don Sweeney more aggressive or lets him stand pat?
No, I think he can't stand pat. I think it still makes him aggressive in the sense he knows he has to get, at the very least, he has to get at least, I'm going to say two, but maybe one, good depth players to fill out a third line. You know, we call the Achari Wagner Corrali lines the fourth line. They play third line minutes, but they're still, we call them the fourth line for many reasons. There's still a void on another line, so they have to go out and get one, if not two players, I think, to fulfill that. You know, Carson Kuhlman is a nice story to come up, but he's not the answer yet. I think he'll be an NHL player next year when it's all said and done. But between Nordstrom, you know, Frederick, I'm not convinced as a regular NHLer yet. He's 20 years old, so the Backus situation, he's in and out of lineup. Well, if they got to fill some voids there, no doubt about it. What it may do, it may change his philosophy and absolutely positively having to get a top six guy. I still think, from everything I'm hearing, they'll still kick tires on a few players. You know, Mark Stone being the one that the Ottawa Senators don't sign him. I've admitted it before on your show. I've got a hockey crush on him. That's the kind of guy I would pay for. But I would pay for that. You know what I mean? Like, but I've got to be able to have a legit opportunity to talk to him about extending before I give up any kind of farm for him. Because you're just...
I was going to say, Billy, I mean, you're talking about giving up the farm. We've talked extensively about what pieces do the Bruins have that would be worth something to another team. And DeBrusk's name, his name continues to come up. Now, there's two schools of thought when you see what DeBrusk has been able to put together for the last like week or so. One is, hey, all of a sudden you can sell high on this guy. He's looking pretty good, and he's been playing pretty well. But then there's the other school of thought is, can you sell this guy when you see how well he's been playing as of late?
Yeah, yes, okay? We all do this hypothetical thing. That's what, you know, that's what radio is, and that's what, you know, hot stoving's all about. You have to give something to get something, okay? That's something that fans sometimes forget. They don't want to give up anything, but yet they expect your team to go out and get these big-name guys for free. What are you getting back if you move a guy, hypothetically speaking, like a DeBrusk? I mean, it has to be a big deal. My issue would be this. I am not giving up a high-end young player, and I mean a guy who's in his early 20s, just entering in theory sweet spot. By the way, Jake DeBrusk had a down year. He's still probably get 25 goals. It's Jeez. Not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad at all. And I'm really kind of being ultra, you know, smart ass here. It ain't bad for a guy who struggled to still get 25 in the league. Don't take that for granted. But what are you getting? And can you, if you're getting a guy for a rental, I'm not doing that. There are other players or other prospects that I would do then, Rich.
All right.
Billy, I just want to ask you real quick of the David Pastrnak injury. I feel like it's kind of perfectly overlapped with the kind of the win streak here, six games. Yeah. What's been like kind of the positive side effect or maybe something positive that's actually come out of the David Pastrnak injury?
And you know what? Look, you've been in the locker room before. When you know your team is good, you understand that it hasn't achieved in certain things, and then either yours or somebody else's, not just opportunity to, but obligation to get yourself going.
Mm-hmm.
And taking, that's why you guys become pros. It's because you're so exceptional in many things you do, and one of them is stepping up at the right time. And that's what I think separates, you know, the good from the very good from the good. David Krejci goes out. Jake DeBrusk, we had him on the air a couple of weeks ago. He talked to the media. He's talked to me about it before. Yeah, he admitted it. Mentally, it can get to him. This is part of the learning process. Danton Heinen has to step up, and he has. Now, he's been given an opportunity. And I think, believe it or not, guys, I think this started before the Pastrnak injury when Bruce Cassidy and his staff elected to separate Pastrnak from the Marchand and Bergeron line and put him with Krejci. To me, that just gives it some depth, some balance, and some opportunity for both lines to feel great about themselves. Because Marchand and Bergeron, if they can get Heinen going and they say, we're still really elite, and then you get Pastrnak and Krejci going as a pair, whether it's with Solaric or somebody else. By the way, it looks like Solaric could play tonight after missing a game. Then I think that said to them, all right, we're both important lines. We're both really going. We're not just one line. And I think since then, you've seen the rebirth a bit of Heinen, and you definitely have seen another, you know, Jake's been up and down this year, but he's on an upswing right now where he's kicking some butt.
We've talked about David Pastrnak kind of in passing since you came on the air, Billy. Any new news on his thumb and how it looks and how long it'll be before he comes back?
I got absolutely nothing on the thumb. I have nothing for Johnny right now. I mean, here's the beauty of a West Coast road trip and for a guy with an injury, out of sight, out of mind. That's what it is right now. We haven't reached the 2-week mark yet for the update. And, we were all in town. The Bruins are now out west. I'm at the NHL Network. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's showing any thumb pictures on Instagram or anything like that.
The event
right
was not pucks and paddles, people.
That's a good point. It was after
it
that.
Just to make that clear.
2 days later.
Do you know how many people hey, nice job getting pasta falling over on his and smapping his thumb at your event? It was not our event. It was like
point.
2-3 days afterwards.
That's right.
Just want to put
He grabbed his paddle so hard. Did he hold it? Did anybody hold the paddle like a real elite level ping pong player?
You're talking upside down, the grandpa style?
Well, I don't know. You're not upside down when you watch the Olympic or world-class ping pong players. They're not holding it like us hacks are. They're holding it differently. Was anybody going like the Mr. Miyagi, the holding of the paddle the right way? You know what I mean?
The dude that ended up winning the whole thing, it was a ringer that John from Vegas ended up getting.
No, it was great.
To win the whole thing and beat all the Bruins.
Those guys pose. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. Like, they get into a pose. They get into a form when they're playing ping pong. They get very intense with it. They just turn their head down.
Yeah. Talk to me when you're doing it like my grandpa used to do, where he'd hold it upside down, and he used to be able to crush any of us.
Yeah.
It was like some weird-ass head game. I don't know what it was, but...
That's exactly it. It's the head game right there.
Without a doubt. All right, Billy Jaffe, drink some more protein shakes, crush some more weights. And we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, I'll report from the weight room at the MLB Network, NHL Network. They have a very nice workout facility, Ted. I'm just saying.
I'm jealous. Right. I love it. Get after it, buddy.
All right, guys.
See you at the gym. All right. Kyrie Irving. This is new. He talked to ESPN. He did an interview, a sit-down interview, and is talking about the origin of the turbulent season and the chemistry issues. In a brand new interview that's just come out, we have some of the audio from that, and we will play it right
now. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
I'm dreading hearing this. 98.5 is Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich.
It's going to be an organic response to it, right?
It is. I don't know. I don't know what I'm about to hear.
I think it's going to be awesome, though.
All I know is that I promised at the beginning of the show that I'm not going to talk about Anthony Davis unless any real Anthony Davis Davis news breaks. And that's
you did
true.
Mention 9 o'clock, though.
I know,
maybe...
did say you'd be back in by 9.
I was kind of joking, but I'm dead serious. No. I'm kind of over that whole story.
Right.
However, Kyrie Irving is a real story, and I'm worried, and it bothers me. You know what Kyrie Irving is? Kyrie Irving, to me, is like the hottest girl in the world. And when you have a girl that's like that hot,
there's a little crazy,
you'll tolerate so much garbage just to stay with him. You know, just because she's so unbelievably good looking.
Yeah. When you're younger and don't know any better, sure.
Yeah. Kyrie Irving, the Celtics need Kyrie Irving to win a championship. And I think that having him sign next year is such a big deal. It's a massive priority. And right now it's exhausting. I love his game. He's one of the most clutch players in the NBA, and he's a guy that can close out a series. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. He's the reason LeBron James has one of his rings. Kyrie Irving is that guy. However, it doesn't make the back and forth of Kyrie Irving's personality over the entire year any easier to deal with. I love him on the court. This part of it frustrates me. And unfortunately, now we have another chapter. And that chapter is an interview that is going to be released in full on ESPN later on tonight. It was a sit-down that he did with Rachel Nichols. And we have part of it here, okay? And so, and unfortunately, the topic is the Celtics chemistry struggles, which, to be quite honest, I thought we're kind of over that. I thought over the last couple of games, you saw them having fun again.
Just wait two more games from now. It'll be different.
I know, Ted.
The most, honestly, inconsistent as far as just chemistry and kind of everybody be on the same page.
Just wait till they lose in Milwaukee tomorrow night.
Yeah, it'll all be different.
Then it all starts again.
See, this collective confidence is so fragile. It is like a house of cards.
If they lose in Milwaukee tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't even mind them losing in Milwaukee as long as they played hard. Milwaukee's a great team.
Yeah. Yeah.
The There'd best be no shame team. In best losing to in Milwaukee.
NBA, yeah.
So, style points matter, though.
Well, sure. I mean, if it looks like they've just given up like they did against the Clippers, you know, if something like that happens. I wasn't even mad when they lost the Lakers. Matter of fact, I was like, well, that sucks.
That was blind luck.
Well, those, yeah, the amount of threes bit, that they hit, yeah, that sucked. And also, it the softened the blow that Rondo was the one who hit the winning shot. Like, to me, I was like, all right, well, it's Rondo. Ah, you son of a bitch. Ah, love you. You know, I just want to grab it. Yeah, you're the best. But, like, the Clippers one really was just awful because you saw that team give up.
It's like four new guys on that team that night.
Yep. Yeah. None of these guys, like, right, that's not a team.
Right.
That's like, hey, pick we're going to get out there and play street ball. Yeah. Right, exactly. They didn't, I mean, they're all new, and that pissed me off. And now you got this. And you thought that the chemistry things would, and then Kyrie, I know Kyrie did not play those last couple of games. I just kind of wish, and I'm with Fred, because Fred said this the other day, I hate the meetings, I hate the talking, just go out and play.
Oh, I'm so with you.
And bro. I know Kyrie wants to be that guy. And I don't mind him being this guy if he was locked up, and I'm like, all right, you can talk all he wants, doesn't matter. The team's like, you know, he's locked up to a kind of, but when this happens, it just makes me even more nervous when he speaks. So let's quickly go to headlines.
Okay.
And we go back from headlines. We have some audio of Kyrie Irving sit down, which I have not heard yet. So we're all going to be hearing it together for the first time. I'm not looking forward to it because I have a weird feeling it's going to be more of the same, and I hope it's not. I hope he says something that makes me go, hey, this team's figured it out. But it's not because he's talking.
I wouldn't bet on it.
All right. So right after John Wall's headlines, no commercials. Right after John Wall's headlines, we'll play some of that interview.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.